The Last Word on Sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia, think of the possibilities.
And so let's turn to The Last Word on Sport, and we will get to the Gaelic football and hurling in just a little while, but let's start with the conclusion of the English Premier League season. We're joined as ever by Will O'Callaghan from Off the Ball, host of the Hurling Pod, and also by Miguel Delaney, chief football writer of The Independent. And is it a case of that, in the end, not exactly the cream coming to the top, but the big money coming to the top? The top five, with the exception of Manchester United, obviously richest clubs in England, getting these slots in next year's Champions League. Is that disappointing in the sense that it would have been good to see Villa or Forest break up the cartel, Miguel?
Well, I mean, the cartel is an interesting word to use in that sense, given how the politics of the Premier League have changed, because there's actually a voting block that now involves City and Newcastle, two state-owned clubs, Villa, one of whose owners is Egyptian and has business links in Abu Dhabi, and Forest, who's, I mean, Marinakis has become one of the characters of the season in that sense. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the top five, four of the clubs tried to break away in a Super League 4 years ago, and the other has been bought by a state in Saudi Arabia, Newcastle. So, obviously, for a while, it did seem like this was going to be a different season where clubs like Bournemouth, Brighton, I would say more so actually, maybe Forest, obviously up there, to be fair as well, they have overperformed. But they kind of faded away against, because really to go a full season like that, you need that depth. And it ended up being the cups, I suppose, that offered that sort of competitive variety. But while the league, yeah, same old to a degree.
Yeah, Will, do you think there was a certain degree of anti-climax in the concluding weeks of the season as well?
Yeah, I suppose a little bit. I think many of us probably would have liked to have seen Nottingham Forest hold on in the end and get into the top five, given that they've been there for so long during the season. But felt like they ran out of gas. Chris Wood ran out of goals and missed a big chance against Chelsea yesterday, which played a part in Chelsea getting that 1-0 win, which secured their place in the top five ahead of the Conference League final this week. But there's also part of me that wonders if that's not a better thing for Nottingham Forest in the grand scheme of things. As much as they've missed out on the riches of the Champions League, they go into the Conference League, which becomes a remarkably winnable competition where potentially they could have a run like Chelsea next year. The big story, obviously, is what happened with Aston Villa and the impact that that's possibly going to have on Villa's summer as well, where I think some of the players that they would have liked to have kept around were probably based on Champions League revenue for next season. And while you can feel for what happened with Thomas Bramall's mistake, particularly when Morgan Rodgers really should have been able to put the ball into the net and put them into a winning position at Old Trafford, ultimately Villa's tail off at the end of the season, it's hard to have sympathy for them because their focus has been on this since they went out of Europe against PSG. And the reality is that they limped to the end of the season when they were in a very good position to get into the top five. And Newcastle really have Villa's collapse to thank for the fact that they're in the Champions League for the second time in three seasons.
What do you make of all that, Miguel, do you think have the best five teams occupy the best five positions? Is that, if it's over a 38-game series, always the case that you can't complain teams end up where they're supposed to end up?
Well, it's actually a little bit hard to say that these days, I would say, because actually being in Europe and especially being in the Champions League now has such a distortive effect on seasons. And Will has pointed it there. This has happened now with three clubs in a row almost. So Tottenham didn't have European football last season. They finished fifth. Villa were only in the Conference League last season, finished fourth. I mean, there is an argument that Spurs actually should have finished fourth the season before in Ange Postecoglou's first season. This season, Newcastle haven't had European football, having had it, and they've got back into the top five. So I think, especially with the European calendar now being what it is, I do think that influenced the title race as well. And it's created so many injury crises because now you've got games in January. There's a knock-on effect to that. And one of the factors in why Liverpool won the title was basically because they had better scientific preparation than everyone else and kept their best players on the pitch. So it does kind of distort a lot of what we used to believe was true about a full season in that sense. And being in Europe, and especially being in one of the kind of the priority European competitions, can have such a massive effect. And Villa, I mean, Will spoke there about kind of how they did tail off towards the end of the season. It's hard not to link that to that European campaign. I obviously sympathy with the way the decision went yesterday, but I did see a lot of discussion online about how, well, 5 years ago, the only reason they stayed in the division in the first place was because of an issue with goal line technology in the first game back after COVID.
Okay, so do you think, Miguel, who Liverpool worthy champions, 10 points clear of Arsenal, but what do you reckon now they're going to be like for next season? Because they're going to lose Trent Alexander-Arnold. Who, I mean, are they going to get Wirtz from Germany? What sort of difference would he make to them if he came in?
Well, I think it's the targeting of Wirtz makes it clear. What we sort of knew last summer and what we've discussed in the show as well, that even then, Slot wanted to reshape the attack. He really kind of wanted to change everything except Salah. He obviously, they didn't do it last year. They waited and the decision has been vindicated. But now they're kind of signing from a position of strength. He clearly wants to go through with all these plans. I think, and it's an interesting one with Liverpool, because I remember even around the League Cup final, we were saying like, they're both worthy champions and an excellent team in good shape. And yet, from the League Cup final, you could also simultaneously say, you can see kind of 3, 4, maybe even 5 areas where this team can be improved. And that's what they're going to do this summer. As to whether Wirtz goes there, it's like I know obviously a few people who represent players say the Bayern Munich camp, and apparently all his German international teammates think he's going to go to Bayern. Now, the issue there is, though, Bayer Leverkusen absolutely don't want him to go to Bayern and want to sell abroad. And there's talk from Germany even that they're going to up the price for Bayern rather than they would for Liverpool. Obviously, in that, he has to explore options. Liverpool do seem quite confident about it now. But this already looks like one of these sagas. If it's not going to run the whole summer, it could go on a while yet.
Okay. Well, what about Irish players in the Premier League? Because we're going to lose quite a few Irish squad players with the relegations of Ipswich and Southampton and even Leicester. But what about the Nathan Collins playing every single minute of the season for Brentford, mid-table team? But does that suggest that after a few dodgy, rocky moments in previous seasons, Nathan Collins has now really established himself as a top-quality centre-half in the Premier League?
Yeah, look, he was remarkably consistent throughout the season. So, as you mentioned, he was the only outfield player to play every minute of the season once Virgil van Dijk got a rest against Brighton for Liverpool as the season came to a close. So, again, he has been a very important player with how they work the ball out of defence as well. He's got a good passing range. He seems to have eliminated some of the mistakes that are there. We've seen it sometimes with the Republic of Ireland where he can have lapses of concentration or possibly goes diving into tackles which aren't necessarily required. But I think he is definitely smoothing out some of those areas of his game with the way he's been playing for Brentford. As you mentioned, we're probably going to see a lot fewer players of Irish in the Premier League next year. A good few are going to be dropping into the Championship. Whether they can get moves, Caoimhín Kelleher is almost certainly going to get a move, particularly now that Liverpool's new second choice goalkeeper has confirmed he won't be going back out on loan for next season. I think Arne Slot has all but said that he's going to facilitate the chance for Kelleher to go somewhere. I'm sure Liverpool will still want a reasonable fee for him, which will probably decide which club he's going to go to. Outside of that, it's difficult to see how many Irish footballers are going to get significant game time in the Premier League for next season. Some of them are coming up from the Championship as well, but it's one of those, again, where I think of players playing significant minutes. It's probably going to be just a handful of Irish players for next season, with Nathan Collins likely to be the one who gets the lion's share in the top flight.
Yeah, can you see many of the players in the relegated clubs getting transfers back into the Premier League, Miguel?
Possibly, I suppose, because now there is this financial gap between the Premier League and the EFL. And I know parachute payments have been such a kind of a big topic, but it does kind of change calculations a little bit. And obviously for some players as well, they've now had a taste of the top level, despite their team's results, because I think that's one of the bigger issues. A lot of them have illustrated they can live there or they can adapt there. And I think it's definitely a potential source of movement.
Okay, and do you think, will Evan Ferguson stay with Brighton or will he go to another Premier League club? Where do you expect Caoimhín Kelleher to go?
Ferguson, look, the West Ham loan hasn't worked out. He's now got to reassess again. I think Brighton will look to either move him on loan or permanently this summer. He does need a bit of a revival. It's such a pity to say, given what a talent he is, how unlucky he's been with injuries. But it does feel like he needs kind of the right situation for him now. West Ham obviously wasn't it, so let's hope there's something next. And Kelleher, well, obviously Liverpool have the Georgian international goalkeeper coming now. You have to think now they've got it in, they will finally allow Kelleher to look for first-team football somewhere. I think it's absolutely what he needs at this point in his career. He's got everything he wanted at Liverpool, bar being the actual first choice. But Alisson looks like he's going to be there for some time. He's won every trophy. He's been involved in big trophy wins, especially this season, given the length of time Alisson was out. And now it's time for him kind of to really fulfil his potential as a number one somewhere. There's a lot of clubs that will be interested in Kelleher. But the question, of course, has been Liverpool's reticence so far.
OK, and then we should recognise as well, Will, Katie McCabe being a Champions League winner. Tell us a little bit about that.
Real surprise result of the weekend. You know, Barcelona couldn't have been more overwhelming favourites going into that final in Lisbon, Matt, given that they scored over 130 goals in the Spanish top flight this season. All expectations were, with the way they'd gone through in Europe, the way they had bossed Chelsea in the semi-finals of the competition, that this was going to be really difficult for Arsenal. But Arsenal showed some real grit in getting to the final. That second leg against Real Madrid, turning over the result against Lyon in the semi-final, they had shown that they had a bit about them, despite the fact that they were very indifferent in their form in the Women's Super League during the season. So just to show how much of an achievement this is, like, English clubs have struggled in the European women's top competition, whereby it's 18 seasons since they've lifted the trophy, and here's Arsenal winning again. So Katie McCabe joins a very, very elite club of four Irish players who've won the Women's Champions League at this stage, and she didn't get booked at the weekend, which is very rare for Katie McCabe in a big game, but I thought, so I was watching the game on Saturday evening, I thought that she played very solidly. Again, Arsenal dug in till about 65-70 minutes in, made it difficult for Barcelona, and then started to just turn the screw and get on top themselves. I'm sure Chloe Kelly is delighted with the way that her loan has moved ahead of the Euros by going from Man City, where she'd been frozen out, to become a key player for Arsenal in the second half of the season. So it's a great, great achievement for Katie McCabe. This is very rare for Irish players to win European medals, men's or women's, and Arsenal pulling off a huge, huge shock.
Thank you very much. Will, you stay with us. Miguel Delaney, chief football writer with The Independent, thank you for being with us.
The Last Word on Sport.
With Energia, supporting Irish rugby at every level. Energia. Think of the possibilities.